Will you please join me in reading this psalm responsively? I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart.
Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name.
For your unfailing love and your faithfulness.
For you have so exalted your solemn decree
that it surpasses your fame.
When I called, you answered me.
You greatly emboldened me.
May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord.
When they hear what you have decreed.
May they sing of the ways of the Lord.
For the glory of the Lord is great.
Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly.
Though lofty, he sees them from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble,
you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes.
With your right hand, you save me.
The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever.
Do not abandon the works of your hands. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you to many of you for your messages, your words of encouragement, and welcome to me, to the staff here. We love Christ Church, and I'm just so excited to be able to serve Christ and serve our community alongside you. So thank you for that. Well, I want to tell you this morning about my grandfather, Alden Veach. He was a carpenter, he was a preacher, and he was a fisherman. And when I was a kid, going fishing with my grandpa looked like me and my dad and my brother sitting for hours, casting our line into the water and catching absolutely nothing, while my grandfather would cast his line and bring in fish after fish after fish, often just minutes apart, like just like clockwork. It was amazing, and it happened this way every time we went fishing with him. It's like he was calling to the fish, you know, and they would just come to him. So we tried our best to follow him around, to use the bait he used, to cast our lines when and where he did. Our thought was that if we could just do what he does and be where he is, we might be able to become a fisherman like him. So this was kind of the mentality in the ancient world between a disciple or an apprentice and a Jewish rabbi or a teacher. Their strategy was, as a disciple, to follow the rabbi around and to learn from him so that they could become like him. In our gospel reading today, we hear how Jesus called his first disciples, including Simon, who was a fisherman. Now, Luke's gospel doesn't tell us Simon's story just so you and I can have this interesting church history lesson. That's interesting and helpful. But Luke really wants us to know that the call that Jesus gave to Simon on the shoreline that day is a call that he extends to you and he extends to me. Luke presents Simon's response to Jesus as kind of a picture, a model of what it looks like to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. And you know, that's really what we're all about here at Christ Church. We believe that God offers every one of us life to the fullest, and that that life is experienced when we say yes to discipleship, to become a follower of Christ. And so I want to focus this morning from this story on what Simon's response to Jesus can teach us about what it means to be a disciple. So to kind of set the scene for us, Simon and his friends had just finished a long night of fishing. Now, unlike me and my grandfather, fishing for them was not a hobby. It was not this thing they did to kind of relax, you know. Fishing was their job. It was their livelihood. The boats they owned, the nets that they used and held in their hands represented everything. And the night before had not been a good one for business. They had fished all night in the Sea of Galilee, and they had absolutely nothing to show for it. Such a frustrating experience. So they had called it a day and began to wash their nets in the fresh water as fishermen would. And as they're washing their nets, Jesus arrives and he begins to teach right there on the shore. We're not told what Jesus said in this teaching, but it was dynamic enough that a crowd followed him and began to form, and more than that, began to press in on him. So much so that he couldn't stand it anymore. He had to do something different. He had to redirect his setup. Now, along the shoreline there, Capernaum, there are these inlets that sort of serve as a natural amphitheater so that if you go out from the water a little bit, people on the shore can hear you really well. And so Jesus asks Simon to take him a way out on his boat so he can teach from there, and then people will be able to hear him. And Simon says, yes, I'll do that for you. And herein is the first lesson, if you will, I think, of discipleship. The life of a disciple is really a life of availability. Availability. If I'm Simon, I am tired. I am frustrated. The last thing I want to sit through is a sermon. None of you can relate to that. I want to wash my nets and I want to go home, right? Maybe turn on the cheat. Oh, sorry to bring that up. I know. Moment of lament. Okay. Moving on. So, where was I? I want to wash my nets. I want to go home. But Simon, for whatever reason, maybe because he had seen Jesus work in other people's lives, maybe he even recalls the time that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. He has these memories of Jesus and these experiences already of God working in others' lives. Simon decides to say, yes, I'll take you out from the shore. And they have church on the water, and Simon is there for it. It's amazing. Why? Because he was available. He was open enough to be interrupted by Jesus. It's interesting when I read this passage and other call stories like it, that Jesus doesn't seek out, you know, the wealthy, influential politician who certainly would have had pull in that day, or prestigious religious leaders, which would have given him credibility, or a celebrity influencer of the day, which would have given him resources. He doesn't seek out any of those people to be his lead disciple, his main man. Rather, he goes to the Sea of Galilee, and he seeks out Simon Peter, a common fisherman. And you know, he doesn't give Simon a theology test before he gets in the boat. He simply says, Simon, are you available? Are you open to learn from me? And Simon was. Sometimes I think we hesitate to take a step in following Jesus because we feel discipleship is really for the professionals. It's for the super spiritual. But honestly, the only and primary qualification for becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is to be somebody who is available, who is open to learn from Jesus. Even if we have doubts or we have more questions than we do answers, or as Jesus referred, our faith is really just the size of a mustard seed, we're barely getting there faith-wise. If we are genuinely open and available, we will begin to hear God's voice and see God's activity, and it will come to us in many ways through Scripture, through nature and the beauty of God's creation, through our life experiences or the words or actions of others. I think it's incredibly amazing what Jesus can and will do when he encounters someone who simply says, I'm available, I'm open. The life of a disciple is a life of availability. Secondly, the life of a disciple is a life of obedience. Verse 4 says that when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night long and we haven't caught anything." Essentially, Simon is saying, "Look, I've been doing this fishing gig for a long time. You're a rabbi, I'm a fisherman. Don't invade my space, you know? You think I haven't tried that, Jesus? You think you know how to fish better than I do? And by the way, do you not realize we just cleaned the nets, man? Come on." Now, some of us have had that kind of conversation with God in some way or another. It goes like this: "God, I think I know how to do my life just fine on my own. Thank you very much. You do you, I'll do me." But there's a pivotal statement that Simon makes. He says, "But because you say so, because you say so, I will let down the nets." And did you catch what Simon called Jesus? He called him Master. It's a declaration of obedience. Now, maybe the word obedience has a really negative connotation for you, especially in religious contexts, you know, where Jesus or the church has been portrayed as just sort of controlling influence. I just want to control my life. And I get that. I really do. I resonate with some of that. But if I could, I'd like to just reframe that word, that concept of obedience this morning. Obedience is really about trusting the wisdom of someone who loves us. Remember as a kid when you played pin the tail on the donkey and you put a blindfold on and there's a target on the wall, and you have to listen to somebody give direction, like, okay, you need to turn left, you need to turn right, you need to go up or down. And they guided you where you needed to go. In order to hit the target, you needed to trust their voice. Why? Because they could see what you could not. And in this instance, Jesus can see what Peter cannot yet see. And that is his provision. Obedience to Jesus is about trusting his voice. It's about being willing to go out into the deep water with Jesus. He'll take us places that are uncomfortable, that are deep, that force us or urge us to look within. He's going to take us out to encourage us and challenge us to study and heed his teaching. To go into the deep water is to allow Jesus not just to influence our life, so we can kind of tack him on and make our life better than it would be, but actually to allow him to be the master of our life. I think sometimes we're afraid that if we listen to Jesus, that if we do life his way, it will hamper our freedom, cramp our style, constrict us in some way. But actually the opposite is true. It will actually bring life to us. It will set us free. It will bring joy to our lives, to heed the teaching of Jesus, to love our enemies, to forgive, to embody the fruits of the Spirit like kindness and gentleness, especially in a culture moment that we're in right now. That's hard. So we have to understand this challenge of Jesus to obedience. It's not really receiving the good life as our culture sometimes conceives of it, but it really is receiving a life of goodness. And when we do, it will produce an overflow in us. And Simon experienced that. It says, as soon as he said, "Lord, it's because you say so, I'll do it. I'll trust you." As soon as he did, he dropped the nets in the water. It says they caught so many fish, the nets began to break. Simon called for reinforcements. The boats began to sink. There were so many fish. What a scene of holy chaos, right? But what a scene of God's miraculous provision. Obedience to Jesus is not a restriction on us. It is a way to freedom for us. It is a way that leads us to a life of overflowing joy and abundance. The life of a disciple is a life of obedience. Third, the life of a disciple really is a life of humility. In verse 8, it says that when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Simon was so overwhelmed with the miraculous catch of fish that it's like a light came on. He realized that he was in the presence of God, and it led him to his knees. It moved him to repentance, to humility. There's a Jesuit named Bill Creed, and he once said, "In the bright sunshine of God's love, your shadows begin to emerge." The fire of God's holiness, when we encounter it truly, it has this effect on us. It shines so bright that it shines a light on us, on our sin, on our pride, on our brokenness. It reveals the cracks in us. It reveals our need for God's grace. And that can be really scary because it means vulnerability. It means openness and honesty and transparency. And those are not very highly valued things in our culture. But Simon's humility, his willingness to drop to his knees and say, "Lord, here I am," that is precisely what led to Simon's transformation. Over and over, we see this in the Gospels, that the people who experienced the fullness of life that Jesus offered to them were not the know-it-alls who had it all together. It was the people who were willing to recognize their ongoing need for God's grace and mercy in their lives and respond appropriately. Simon did that. And it teaches us that this humility of life, this turning of the heart toward the goodness of God, is actually an essential step in becoming a disciple. And not just one time, by the way. It's a lifestyle of humility. It's one that when we endeavor it actually, we can do it with confidence. We can do it with a full trust in the mercy of God. Swiss theologian Hans Balthasar wrote this. He said, "When Christ came into our midst to redeem us, he descended so far that after that, no one would be able to fall without falling into him." Isn't that a beautiful promise of the mercy of God, ready to catch us when we confess our need for him? God's holiness is a burning fire, but it is a fire of love. It warms us. It draws us in. It draws us close. It redeems us. And when we recognize this unearned, undeserved grace, we are changed and we are given a new call. And this leads to the final lesson, I think, from Simon's life. The life of a disciple is really a life of vocation. Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid." You remember that phrase from other parts of Scripture? It's that sign that God is present, that God's got this. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people." And then they pulled their boats up into the shore, left everything, and followed him. In Mark's gospel, it's really specific. It actually says they left their nets. We can't overstate how radical their response was to Jesus. Those nets, all the fish they just caught, it represented everything for them. The security of their community, their work, their family, their livelihood, their identity. Everything to them that was safe and secure and known. They dropped it all in order to follow Christ. And from that moment on, Simon, as we know, would begin to fish for people. Simon became Peter, the leader and the martyr of the early church. Now, I don't know if there's anyone in this room this morning, or even in our parish, who makes their living full-time as a fisherman or fisherwoman. Anybody? I highly doubt it in Johnson County. If you do, I would really like to talk to you, because I have questions about that. But isn't it true that all of us have some version of Simon's nets? We all hold on to something so tightly. We find our identity and our meaning in it. It may be our job, it may be a relationship or our possessions or our security, but in some way or another, it defines us. And the challenge here is that when we become a disciple of Jesus, we are called to drop our nets, to drop everything, to follow him. And sometimes, for some, that really will mean dropping everything and physically leaving the familiar and making a drastic change. My family did that at one point. We sold all of our possessions. We moved overseas, and it was crazy. But often, and for many of us, and perhaps for all of us in this regard, this call to drop our nets and leave everything is a daily call to release the things we're attached to that keep us from wholehearted devotion to Jesus and his way. See, vocation is not just about our job. It's about who we are. Vocation is about integration. It's this idea that our identity as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, an apprentice of Jesus, that it will shape and guide every relationship and task that we have. It will permeate our lives. Our devotion to Jesus shapes the way we approach every relationship, our parenting, our work, our marriages, our engagement with politics and the issues of our day, all shaped through the lens of being a disciple of Jesus. I love that the way Jesus calls these fishermen to something greater. He uses language they're familiar with. I'm going to make you fish for people. I'm going to take the gifts and the passions and the experiences God has given you, and if you will follow me, I will expand them to where you're not just going to do them for a paycheck. You're not going to do them just for self-fulfillment. You're actually going to be doing them for me. You're going to do them as an agent of my kingdom in the world. Frederick Buechner said these words, and I hold them close. I have for many years about vocation. He said, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. When I think of Christian vocation, that's what I think about. I think of people like my friend Preston. He's a faithful follower of Jesus. He's in his 20s. He's a gifted storyteller. He's a filmmaker, and he's really good at what he does. He's had successful commercial work at this point. A couple of years ago, he was contacted by a nonprofit that works to locate and free trafficked children all around the world. And as he began to get to know this organization, the mission of that group began to capture his heart. And Preston now uses his gifts of storytelling and filmmaking and artistry to give voice to the voiceless and to literally help catch people and set them free. I know stories after story of ordinary, everyday people, business owners and educators and stay-at-home parents and folks who are even homebound, who have dropped their nets and have followed Jesus. They've simply said, Jesus, all the gifts and resources I have ever had and that I have now, they're yours. And Jesus says, I can work with that. We can do really good things with that. In Christian vocation, Jesus does not destroy or discard our passions. He transforms them for his glory. And then our life, of which really our job is just one sliver, it becomes this offering to God. It becomes a response to the call of Jesus to drop everything and follow him and join in his great mission to rescue and restore a world that is in need. A life of a disciple is a life of vocation. It's a life lived ultimately for the sake of others. Jesus said this, whoever finds their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will actually find it. It's a compelling invitation from Jesus. It captured the heart of Simon and his friends. My prayer for us is that it will capture our heart as well. Amen.